Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Ram Goldhari, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Pei Beis, the eighth parak Yom Kippurim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, "Hatinokas ema anin osam b'Yom Kippurim." We do not afflict children on Yom Kippur. But we train them prior to a year or 2 years, so they should be accustomed to fulfilling mitzvahs. Rashi explains that lifnei shana means before the year prior to bar mitzvah, in other words, 2 years, and lifnei shanasai means before 2 years prior to bar mitzvah, in other words, 3 years. The Gemara asks that if we train them prior to 2 years, what's the need to state that we train them prior to a year? Rav Chisna answers, habachola habari. This ruling of prior to a year applies to a sickly child, whereas this ruling of prior to 2 years applies to a healthy child. The Gemara will present two different opinions as to the starting age for girls and boys to begin fasting. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Ubra shehericha machin osa ashatashi nasha. If a pregnant woman smelled food or drink and craved it on Yom Kippur, we feed it to her until she feels relieved. The Gemara brings a brisa that teaches, Ubra shehericha basar kodesh or basar chazir. If a pregnant woman smelled kodesh meat or pork and craved it, we stick a spindle into the liquid of that meat and place it in her mouth. Rashi explains that she sucks on it. If she's not relieved, we feed her the liquid. If she's still not relieved, we feed her the very fat of the prohibited food. For there's nothing that stands in the way of saving a life other than the cardinal sins of avodah zorah, illicit relations, or murder. And point number three, the Gemara proceeds to bring the sources that one must give up his life rather than commit one of the three cardinal sins. That one must give up his life rather than commit avodah zorah is learned from the pasuk that one should love Hashem b'chol nafshecha, with all of one's soul. That one must give up his life rather than commit illicit relations is taught in a brisa where Rebbe brings a pasuk concerning the rape of a namarasa, a betrothed nara. Ki kasher yakum ish al reyu ritzachu nefesh kena davar azeh. For like a man who rises up against his fellow and murders him, so is this thing. Rebbe explains that just as someone who is told that he must commit murder should allow himself to be killed and not transgress the prohibition against murder, so too in the case of a namarasa, one must allow himself to be killed and not commit adultery. The lach that one must give up his life rather than commit murder is based on svora, as shown in the case of a certain individual who told Rabba that the governor of his town told him to kill so-and-so, and if he doesn't do so, then the governor will kill him. Rabba said to him, let him kill you and do not kill anyone. My chazi is the dama didach sumach tvei. For what do you see to assume that your blood is redder than that of the victim? Dilma dama dahavu sumach tvei. Perhaps the blood of that man whom they want you to kill is redder than yours. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states that tinokas e ma'anin osam b'yom kippurim, we do not afflict children on Yom Kippur. But we train them prior to a year or 2 years, so they should be accustomed to fulfilling mitzvahs. Rashi explains that lifnei shana means before the year prior to bar mitzvah, in other words, 2 years, and lifnei shanasai means before 2 years prior to bar mitzvah, in other words, 3 years. The Gemara asks that if we train them prior to 2 years, what is the need to state that we train them prior to a year? Rav Chisna answers, habachola habari. The ruling of prior to a year applies to a sickly child, whereas this ruling of prior to 2 years applies to a healthy child. The Gemara will present two different opinions as to the starting age for girls and boys to begin fasting. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Ubara shehericha machlin osa ashetashiv nasha. If a pregnant woman smelled food or drink and craved it on Yom Kippur, we feed it to her until she feels relieved. The Gemara brings a brisa that teaches, Ubara shehericha basar kodesh or basar chazir. If a pregnant woman smelled kodesh meat or pork and craved it, we stick a spindle into the liquid of that meat and place it in her mouth. Rashi explains that she sucks on it. If she's not relieved, we feed her the liquid. If she's still not relieved, we feed her the very fat of the prohibited food. For there's nothing that stands in the way of saving life other than the cardinal sins of avodah zorah, illicit relations, or murder. And point number three, the Gemara proceeds to bring the sources that one must give up his life rather than commit one of the three cardinal sins. That one must give up his life rather than commit avodah zorah is learned from the pasuk that one should love Hashem b'chol nafshecha, with all of one's soul. That one must give up his life rather than commit illicit relations is taught in a brisa where Rebbe brings a pasuk concerning the rape of a namarasa, a betrothed nara, ki kasher yakum ish al re'eu ritzachu nefesh kena davar hazeh. For like a man who rises up against his fellow and murders him, so is this thing. Rebbe explains that just as someone who's told that he must commit murder should allow himself to be killed and not transgress the prohibition against murder, so too in the case of namarasa, one must allow himself to be killed and not commit adultery. The halakha that one must give up his life rather than commit murder is based on svara, as shown in the case of a certain individual who told Rebbe that the governor of his town told him to kill so-and-so, and if he doesn't do so, then the governor will kill him. Rebbe said to him, let him kill you, and do not kill anyone. My chazi is the dama didach sumach tvei. For what do you see to assume that your blood is redder than that of the victim? Perhaps the blood of that man, whom they wanted you to kill, is redder than yours. All right, so now we go to Simmer Dav Pei Beis, and the simmon is a pub. A pub. So here goes. The pregnant mother who was training her young children to fast on Yom Kippur was so overcome with a craving from the wafting smell of chazer from the pub next door that she sucked on a juicy thin reed, relieved that she wasn't violating one of the three cardinal sins. Once again, in slow motion. The pregnant mother who was training her young children to fast on Yom Kippur was so overcome with a craving from the wafting smell of a chazer from the pub next door. Pub? That must be more in Duff. Pei Beis. The pregnant mother was training her young children to fast on Yom Kippur, which reminds Gemara discusses when to begin training children to fast on Yom Kippur, and that healthy children are trained a year earlier than sickly children. So the pregnant mother who was training her young children to fast on Yom Kippur was so overcome with a craving from the wafting smell of a chazer from the pub next door that she sucked on a juicy thin reed, which reminds us of the discussion about feeding a pregnant woman with a craving, and that at first we try to relieve her craving by sticking a spindle into the liquid of the prohibited meat and placing it in her mouth to suck, and ultimately, if she can't be relieved by any means, we feed her the very fat of the prohibited food, for there's nothing that stands in the way of saving life other than the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zorah, Ogili Arayas, and Shvichus Damim. So the pregnant mother who was training her young children to fast on Yom Kippur was so overcome with a craving from the wafting smell of chazer from the pub next door that she sucked on a juicy thin reed, relieved that she wasn't violating one of the three cardinal sins, which reminds us that Gemara proceeds to bring the sources that one must give up his life rather than commit one of the three cardinal sins, and that the halacha that one must give up his life rather than commit murder is based on the svara of my chazit adamit didach sumach tvei. For what do you see to assume that your blood is redder than that of the victim? So once again, the pregnant mother who was training her young children to fast on Yom Kippur was overcome with a craving from the wafting smell of a chazer from the pub next door that she sucked on a juicy thin reed, relieved that she wasn't violating one of the three cardinal sins. All right, now it's time for a four-blot back chazora. Dafayin ches. So the simmer dafayin ches is a child going ach. So here goes. The child sitting in the moist mud going ach. Child going ach, that must be one daf ein ches. The child sitting in the moist mud going ach while trying to cool himself down with a cold squash, which reminds us it's forbidden to sit on mud in Yom Kippur because the moistness of the mud affects a pleasure like washing, Rabbi Shuben Levi said, Batina Matapachas, and the Brisa speaks of mud that oozes moisture, and Abai said, Batapeach al Manasrat Piach, and the Brisa speaks of mud that is moist to the degree that it can give whatever it touches the capacity to moisten something else. Rabbi Yehuda said it's permitted to cool oneself down with fruits. So the child sitting in the moist mud going, ugh, while trying to cool himself down with a cold squash, got so upset when his sandals made of rush got dirty, which reminds us it's permitted to wear non-leather shoes on Yom Kippur, such as rush, for when the Mishnah prohibited wearing shoes, it meant shoes in the halachic sense, such as leather shoes, but not footwear made of other material. So the child sitting in the moist mud going, ugh, while trying to cool himself down with a cold squash, got so upset when his sandals made of rush got dirty, they started breaking, cracked, clay kalim, which reminds us small children are permitted to engage in all the pleasures of prohibiting Yom Kippur, except for wearing shoes, for the Rabban did not prohibit pleasures such as washing and anointing that are necessary for the child's development. For Abai said, his adoptive mother told him that the development of a child requires bathing him in warm water and anointing him with oil, and when he grows a bit older, it requires breaking utensils so that the child can satisfy his impulses. This is in line with Rabba's practice of buying inexpensive cracked clay utensils for his sons to break. Dafayin Tes. So the simmer Dafayin Tes is an 8, a pen, and we use a sofer using a quill. So here goes. This sofer who stuck a large date with a pit on the edge of his quill to put his mind at ease. Sofer with a quill, that must be on Duff. Ein Tess, 8. This sofer who stuck a large date with a pit on the edge of his quill to put his mind at ease, which reminds us Rabbi said named Rabbi Yehuda that the large date mentioned in the Mishnah is larger than a kibbetzah. And this unusual measure was established because it's been accepted by the Rabbanan that with this amount of food, one's mind is put at ease, but with less than this amount, one's mind is not at ease, and he remains afflicted. So the sofer stuck a large date with a pit on the edge of his quill to put his mind at ease while eating two dates outside his sukkah, which reminds the more challenged Rabbah's assertion that a large date with its pit is larger than a kibbetzah based on the Mishnah and sukkah, where there's no chiyuv to eat two dates in the sukkah, but a kibbetzah must be eaten in the sukkah, implying a kibbetzah is even larger than the size of two dates. Rabbi Yirmi answered, saying two dates without their pits are not as large as a kibbetzah, but one large date with its pit is larger than a kibbetzah. And Rava said that the reason that eating two dates does not require a sukkah is not because the meat of the dates is smaller than a kibbetzah, but because they are fruit, imperial, and fruit eaten in any volume is considered a snack, which does not require a sukkah. So the sofer stuck a large date with a pit on the edge of his quilt to put his mind at ease while eating two dates outside his sukkah, wrote the words, V'achalta v'savata, on the cover of a bencher, in the shape of an egg. Which reminds me, Rav Zvi disagrees with Rava and says that the large date of which the Mishnah spoke is less than the equivalent of a kibbetza. A proof is brought from a Mishnah Brachos where Rav Yehuda says the words v'chaltav sevat to teach that one must eat the amount that satisfies, which is a kibbetza. If a kibbetza satisfies, it certainly sets the mind at ease. So we conclude from here that a kosevis is smaller than kibbetza, and while it sets the mind at ease, it doesn't satisfy. Daf Pei, so the Simmer Daf Pei is payday. Payday, so here goes. It was payday, payday. That must mean we're on Daf Pei. It was payday for the painter who sold his work, depicting a tame egg, which reminds us that Rabbi Abba learned that the shir for tumas ochlin is a kabeza from the pasuk, mikol ocho shir yachel, from any food that is eaten, which implies ocho shata ocho babasach is a food that you can eat in a single swallow. And the chamin determined ein beis abli maxi yosim beis tarnagolas, that the throat cannot hold more than the volume of a hen's egg at one time. So it was payday for the painter who sold his work depicting a tummy egg balanced on a giant's nose who had a massive cheek full of liquid, which reminds us that the shir for drinking is a malugma, which is relative shir to the size of a person, because a person's mind is only put at ease with the size of his own cheekful, whereas the shir of a kosevis for food is standard, since one's mind is put at ease with it regardless of size, even for someone who's a giant like Og Melcha Bashan. So it was payday for the painter who sold his work depicting a tummy egg balanced on a giant's nose who had a massive cheekful of liquid and was holding a book titled How to Stop Overeating. Which reminds Reish Lakish said, O'ocha chila gasim yom kippur and pater. The one who eats successfully in Yom Kippur is pater from karz. And Rashi explains that the Gemara is discussing a case where one who ate a filling meal immediately prior to the onset of Yom Kippur, while satiated to the point of revulsion, proceeded to eat on Yom Kippur night. Since the entire eating is in a chila gasa, he is pater. Daf payoff. So the Zimun Daf payoff is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, grandpa. That must mean we're on Daf payoff. The grandpa who was always grumpy when he only ate a chetzi shira of food with a chetzi shira of drink. Which reminds me of Chissa said the ton of our mission which stated ha'och v'shoso emut starfin is Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that when it comes to tuma, if the degree of tuma is the same but not their shir, the items are not mitstarf. Rav Nachman said our mission can also be according to the Rabban who hold that items with different shirim of tuma do combine. In the case of tuma, the halacha concept of tuma in all its various degrees and measures is in the final analysis one and the same. But here, in the case of eating and drinking Yom Kippur, the liability is on account of putting the mind at ease, and the mind of one who ate and drank chetzi shiurim is not at ease. So the grandpa, who was always grumpy when he only ate a chetzi shir of food with a chetzi shir of drink, was ready to be mosim mechol al kodesh, which reminds us that we reconcile the contradictory psukim of v'nisim esnav shosechem betishal kodesh, you shall afflict yourselves on the ninth of the month, with the pasuk be'erev in the evening, which implies that one begins fasting only from nightfall, that one begins fasting when it's still day of the ninth. From here we learn shemosif mechol al kodesh, that we add from the weekday unto the holy, and we learn that we add from the weekday unto the holy upon its departure as well, from erev ad erev, from evening until evening. So the grandpa, who's always grumpy when he only ate a chetzi shira of food with a chetzi shira of drink, was ready to be mosi mochol al kodesh after eating like a king erev Yom Kippur on the ninth. Which reminds us, Chiya bar Rav Medifti taught the v'nisim es nafshosechem b'tisha, and you shall afflict yourselves on the ninth of the month. It's coming to tell you, ko och v'shosu b'tshi mal v'kasam ki lo hisana tishi v'asiri. If one eats and drinks on the ninth, the Torah treats him as if he had fasted on the ninth and the tenth. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.